The following program was pre-recorded. On WFAN, it's time for Hello, My Name is Craig, our weekly candid conversation about gambling addiction. It's supported by the Council on Compulsive Gambling of New Jersey, 800-GAMBLER. Now, here's Craig Carton.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Hello, My Name is Craig. Great to have you here, Craig Carton, with you for the next 30 minutes of frank, open, honest conversation about gambling addiction, addicts like myself, and of course, my partner, as always on this show, Dan Trelaro. Danny, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, Craig. I'm mourning the end of the football season, especially after the Eagles won, but otherwise I'm fine.
Yeah, it was tough to pick a side on that one because I'm sick and tired of Kansas City and I don't like Philadelphia. In a second, I'm going to bring Robbie into the conversation. He's out in Massachusetts and is a counselor who treats a sports betting addiction. But before I bring him in, Dan, you know, I did see the story that it was one of the most successful days on the sports book side of thing when it comes to the Super Bowl and all the wagers that were made. You know, hundreds of millions of dollars went to the sports books, meaning a lot of people lost money. And this is one of the fears that we have, that you have people who are gambling for the first time and obviously have lost money now for the first time. And how do they react to that type of loss? So give me an idea of what this week is like in your world as someone who counsels people and what the inevitable reaction is going to be this week in the next couple of weeks as people try to handle what happened to them on Sunday.
Yeah, thanks, Craig. You know, that is one of the biggest days of the year, right? I mean, that's a day you can bet on anything, from the coin toss, from colors of Gatorade, all kinds of things, people being exposed to it for the first time. I will say leading up to the Super Bowl, I had some work on some college campuses. We want to remind people, don't get unintentionally jammed up, you know, on wagering. But now post-Super Bowl, Craig, since Sunday, we've had a week. I've had 7 phone calls from parents and or individuals, college-age individuals, who said, hey, I need to talk. You know, I've just realized, like, my sports betting is starting to get out of hand. And in 5 of those 7 conversations, I have 2 more to make, call back. It was the Super Bowl that was kind of the thing that said, listen, it was my last chance. I was just seeing how it went. Now I got to do something about this. And you come to find out that people have been betting on football the entire, you know, for the 4, 5, 6 months of the preseason, the season, and that's the last game. That's that bailout game. It's always known as the bailout game. Right. And when it doesn't bail you out, you're kind of left now. Now what do I do? You know, what does my relationship with gambling look like? So it doesn't surprise me. The helpline, at least my personal cell phone, has been busier the last week than it had been, you know, a few months leading up to it.
Yeah, look, some people use that game, like you said, to try to get whole or close to whole. Other people take what they've won throughout the year, if they did win, and try to double up on it. But then for a lot of people, there's going to be the stark reality that when they woke up on Monday after the Super Bowl, they owe people money. Or they've got a bank account that's now empty or a credit card that's now overmaxed. And there are other sporting events, college basketball, NBA basketball, NHL, heck, Daytona, things like that. And our fear, people that now live in this world, is that people are going to start making really bad decisions, and they're going to process the financial trouble they're in by saying to themselves, I bet myself into trouble. I got to bet myself out of trouble. And then we get ourselves into a bad spot, which brings me to Robbie, who is a therapist and a counselor treating sports betting addiction. Robbie, first time we've had a chance to talk. Good morning and welcome to the show.
Yep. Thank you, Craig. And thank you, Dan. It's an honor to be on. It really is. I really enjoy and appreciate the work that you do putting lived experience out there. This is great. It is a great connector for folks out there that suffer from gambling disorder and sports betting problems.
What is this week like for you in your world? Not that you represent all counselors, but still, for people that do what you do now, having dedicated your life to helping others, and now specifically in the gambling addiction community, what's the last 48 hours been like?
Yeah, Craig, it's been somewhat of a rough ride. You know, most of my clients are young men in their 20s, active NCAA athletes, or athletes that are just, you know, have just graduated from school. And a lot of them are fans, you know, just like us. You know, I heard you guys speaking about, mourning that, you know, Dan said something about mourning the end of the football season. I'm with you. you guys may not you may not run this recording when I tell you I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. I couldn't go for the Eagles yet. I didn't want to see the Chiefs win. But that's a way that we connect, right? And I bring that to light when I'm working with my client. You know, right out of the shoot, I think it was a Monday session with an active athlete that I have. He had a slip based, you know, on what happened with the Super Bowl and what triggered. And I've been working with the family this week. So talking with a lot of my clients, you know, we worked through this before the Super Bowl, right? But even during the season, what you guys were talking about with the end of the football season and with the Super Bowl and how that, you know, is played as far as if you're in the condition, in the disease, right? Mm-hmm. Tuesday mornings are a big thing. Monday night football are a big thing in the NFL season, right? You know, are they going to make up the week's winnings or losings there? So, we deal with that in someone's experience when they're working with this. But, you know, a lot of my work, what I found working with athletes and former athletes is a lot of what I focus on is relearning how to enjoy sports as a fan or a competitor in recovery. It's very similar to my work in substance addiction disorder on how to work with someone who has alcohol use disorder and enjoy socializing without alcohol. It's the same kind of thing that I find guiding my clients through. If it's guiding them through the Super Bowl, but relearning how to enjoy being a fan or an athlete in recovery is a lot of where my work has gone.
That's interesting to me, Michael. Because Dan talks to far more people than I do from a face-to-face standpoint, but in the college tours I've done and now some high schools that have reached out to me and even the people that privately in my personal life that I try to counsel and act as kind of a beacon for to talk about gambling, I'm trying to figure out how you successfully navigate what you just said, which is take someone who loves sports, you know, they love playing sports, they're competitive young men or women, they love watching sports, it's a central, you know, aspect of how they socialize, of how they spend their free time, and it also led them down this bad path of gambling and thus gambling addiction. How do you teach somebody like that, that has spent an inordinate amount of time and emotional and mental resources on gambling, on something they love, to then retrain the way they process watching sports to be able to watch it with joy without having money on it?
Yep, that takes time. I want to open up with that. It's a dopamine reset, if you will. So, and I use a lot of analogies because I also, in my day job, Craig, so you know, I train other therapists in treating this disease, right? And so I use analogies with alcohol use disorder. How do you relearn to enjoy life without being buzzed, without using that social lubricant? It's the same type of philosophy here. And what I tell my clients is it takes time for them to be able to enjoy life on life terms without either gambling or if it's a substance or whatever it might be, Craig, right? So with sports, it can be a little bit tricky. And what I tell especially my current athletes, I tell them that action has nothing to do with them being a competitor. Action has nothing to do with their love for their particular team, either if it's the Yankees, the Jets, or the Dallas Cowboys, right? Mm-hmm. And how do we separate that out? How do we relearn to do that? Now, a class that I put together for therapists in the states that I serve in my day job, I put together an exercise that when I assess a client on, I help them relearn to why they are a fan, you know, and I break it down. Because, again, we have to get to the source of why you're rooting, let's say, for the New York Yankees, right? Or why they compete in a particular sport. Did they grow up watching the sport? Did they grow up playing the sport? Do family members or loved ones?
You're trying to bring guys and gals back to the baseline of when they first fell in love with sport, when it had nothing at all to do with gambling, and try to kind of refresh that feeling, emotion, and processing of sports before we ever laid our first bet, yeah?
Absolutely. And it's either community, family, social reasons. It can be an alma mater. It can even be the we versus them. You know, like we were saying earlier, I know Dan's a Giants fan. I'm a Cowboys fan. I will watch an Eagles game just to watch them lose, but I find joy in that.
Yeah, I got you. Dan, you and I have talked a lot. You spent, I guess, the last couple of years talking more specifically to college athletes, you know, like Robbie's just talking about. And I've always believed, in, you know, we've talked about this offline as well, that competitive young people, 18 to 22, 3, 4-year-old, you know, I call them kids, but that age group, you know, it's the competitive, it's the athlete, the guy or gal that hates to lose, that loves to put the work in to try to win. Yeah. They're the most susceptible to becoming compulsive gamblers because they are wired in a manner where losing is unacceptable. And you might beat me once, but I'm coming back again harder to beat you the second time. And in the world of gambling, yeah, you'll have some wins. You'll even, you know, get whole at some time. But that mentality is a very dangerous one in the gambling world.
Yeah, and I'll pick up on that. And then, Robbie, you can probably, you know, color in between the lines that I kind of set up here. You know, we talk about athletes being a little bit more vulnerable and just a different susceptibility because they have some of those personality traits that you just mentioned, Craig, right? They're competitive. They have that fear of failure, you know, that ego that, you know, I'm going to prove myself and I'm going to prove it against you. But they also have this little thing where as athletes, they're taught that practice makes them better. And they know that as they practice more over time, they're going to get better at the thing that they're putting their hard effort into. But that's not how the world of gambling works. That's not how drinking works, right? Our tolerance builds, the frequency starts to pick up. But, you know, athletes are taught those things and they have specific personality traits that could lend themselves to either be wildly successful, but can also lend themselves to addiction. And with gambling in particular, especially sports betting, like, it's familiar, it's sports, I follow it, I'm knowledgeable, and I'm conditioned to know that I'm going to win every so often. I just don't know how much, how often, or when it will happen. You know, Robbie, you talk about that relationship, and that's something I struggled with. I couldn't watch sports for 6 months after I stopped gambling. And ironically enough, it was 15 years ago this past week where I started my journey of recovery on February 11th. And I remember that first 6 months. Couldn't watch sports. Couldn't consume it because I didn't have a healthy relationship. But over time, it got better. You know, what do you see now with the world of social media and technology and smartphone? How does that complicate matters with now trying to relearn the relationship with sports as a fan?
Before you answer that question, we'll take a very quick break. We'll get the answer to that question and more. This is Hello, My Name is Craig on WFAN.
Back to more of Hello, My Name is Craig on The Fan with your host, Craig Carton, and supported by the Council on Compulsive Gambling of New Jersey, 800-GAMBLER.
Welcome back to Hello, My Name is Craig. Great to have Dan Chilara, of course, and from Massachusetts, Robbie, who is a counselor helping folks like myself and Dan who are dealing with some issues regarding compulsive gambling. You know, Dan asked you a question going into the break, Robbie, about how modern technology is having such a huge impact on the world of gambling and by proxy, compulsive gambling. In your experience, what are you seeing in regards to the ease with which we can all gamble now because it's sitting on our phones?
I think there's two things. Technology, of course, I'm going to get to that real quickly, but the legalization of sports betting, number one, is one of the things that has created this onslaught of what I'm seeing in my practice. Number two, the technology, to speak to Dan's question, it is technology. That's the other thing. It is so accessible. If you've got a casino in your hand by your bed that you can just pick up and get that dopamine rush at 2:30 a.m., at 2:30 p.m., at any time of the day. It's not just the access. But the access is the gate that opens it. It's the quick returns. I'm a huge baseball fan, right? Yep. You can bet every pitch, every 15 seconds, you get a rush on that. What a slippery slope. So the technology, the ease of access, the quick returns is what we're looking at. And a lot of my talks with my clients is, how are we going to manage that? what are we going to do? You know, there's preventative measures with this condition, with any process addiction, right? We have to put preventative measures in. I do with my clients, or I suggest them. You know, when I work with clients, I never say they have to do anything. I'm kind of like a consultant, if you will. Yep. If I tell any of my clients who are suffering from gambling disorder or substance use disorder that they have to do anything, they're probably going to do the opposite. But I always consult with them with anti-gambling software to put in with their online access. That is one of the points of entry that we talk about to put them in an opportunity or a place that they can succeed.
Look, I'm with you on that. I tell people all the time, if people come to me for help or guidance, et cetera, and the first thing I say to them is, have you self-excluded from online gambling? Because it takes 5 minutes to do it. It's the easiest thing in the world to do. And then it adds, you know, it's a prophylactic, right? It protects you from yourself in a weak moment where you can't grab your phone and go do it. And if the answer is no, I haven't done it yet, then I know I can't help the person. Because until they take that step, which is the easiest possible step to take to self-exclude from online wagering, then they're not ready for the help yet. And people like you and Dan and myself and others who try to help people moving forward, you know, just can't help. But I got to let you go here in a second. I was wondering if you don't mind sharing, if you have one. You know, part of the reason this show has resonated is, as you mentioned earlier, lived experience. You know, I'm very open about, you know, my gambling history, the good and the bad. Dan has been as well. And obviously with respect to your patients and clients, no names at all. But I want people to know, and if you have one that comes to the top of your head, an example of like the depths gamblers go to wager and the risks they take, you know, with their well-being, their safety, their freedom, et cetera. Is there one story that sticks out to you more than maybe others of all the people that you've tried to counsel and have successfully counseled that has resonated with you, a story that you won't forget that shows an example of how a regular, normal person, you know, went down a really bad path and, you know, what led them eventually to go to recovery?
Sure. I've got so many at this point in time. And as I said, what's happened in my professional life is steered me to not just gambling disorder, but sports betting. I've got several examples of success, you know, people succeeding, but I also have, you know, not everybody that comes to see me is there, you know, a happy ending, if you will. I always tell my clients that the bad news is this disease, it never goes away, but the good news is you never have to gamble again, right? Mm-hmm. So I would say probably, you know, I've got one that's one guy who was actually a college. I got to be careful here. He was an active college athlete just a couple of years out. And what happens is when I feel when clients have actual experience in playing the sport, they think that they have more control than they do over the outcome, right? Mm-hmm. So this particular client, I usually hear from mothers, wives, partners, girlfriends before I hear from the client. I'd heard and talked to their family members for I don't know how many months. But once I got with this client, usually with clients, you know, with the people that I serve, you know, we can sometimes start off with they have to figure out if they have a gambling issue or a gambling problem. And sometimes we set up parameters around it at first, but once they know, it's how willing they are, where they place the priority in their life. And this young man put this priority in his life, meaning that this was more important than his job, his family, his girlfriend, his mother, because I told him, if you place your recovery below any of those things, you're going to lose all of those things. Sure. But this is just one of the many stories. And this client, you know, was very fearful of, Robbie, do I have to, you know, give up being a competitor? Do I have to give up being a Patriots fan? And we walked through that together, right? he was able to begin to start watching sports eventually. And like Dan said, not all of my clients can go right out and start watching, games or going to the games. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time, just like it, this young man. But I had just seen him perhaps for 6 months. And one of the things that I like that you said, Craig, was lived experience. I'm 12-step biased. I know it works. Yep. It might not be for everybody.
I agree with that.
Right? It works for a lot of us. So I can't even remember. I'm just thinking of the first guy that came to my mind, and this was this gentleman. I don't know if he went to a 12-step group or not, but I really pushed the fellowship, the connection that you guys provide on the show and that GA groups and other groups all around the world serve. But what he told me one day, and this is why I thought of this young man, was he goes, you know, Robbie, what I do, and I use this with my other clients. I use this when I teach and train other therapists, that if you want to watch sports, he says, you know what I do, Rob? I said, what's that? He says, I focus on the storylines, not the betting lines. That's fantastic. We could all, right?
Yeah.
So even looking at the Super Bowl, it made me want to puke as an NFL Dallas Cowboys, you know, as a fan, to see these two teams play each other. But I watched just to watch the Eagles lose, or to see Mahomes not get another one, right? It's the storyline.
Let me stop you there only because they're telling me I'm up against it. And we'll talk much more, I'm sure, in the future. And I really appreciate your time, Robbie. And I want to expand upon that concept because I think it's an important one. But I got to wrap it up for today. Thank you so much for doing what you do and for joining us. I do look forward to having you back on to elaborate more on that. But thank you for your time today very much.
Sure. Thank you for all you guys do, too. And thank you for having me on the show.
Thanks.
Thanks, Robbie.
Dan, I know we're up against it, but and I do want to expand upon that. Just time's not going to allow it for today, but what a great idea to try to teach people how to view sports differently, and as opposed to worrying about the final score outcome or the spread or the over-under or whatever prop or parlay, you know, fall in love again with the storylines, because the greatest reality show in the history of television is not the Jersey Shore. It's sports, professional and college. You know, the storylines of young men and women who overcame obstacles to make it, a coach, you know, health concerns, the underdog, you know, David versus Goliath. All that stuff is pure. And what we originally fell in love with sports was around that, not around the gambling lines. And that's a great lesson. I'm sure it's a tough one, but what a great idea to try to get people to fall back in love with why we love sports in the first place.
I agree. And it just quickly reminds me, Craig, you know, being 49 here, of ABC Wide World of Sports. They used to put on, like, I used to love it. And they won Emmy Awards for outstanding sports, for just the programming. They did a great job of really, in my opinion, hearing that, of kind of embracing the storyline. And this is before sports betting, obviously, was around the country. But getting back to the storyline instead of the betting line, that's a great phrase. I love that.
Well, if you remember then, Wide World of Sports ended with this phrase, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. And that was before any of us ever placed a wager on a sporting event, and it rang very, very true. Always good talking to you, Dan. We got March coming up, which, of course, is also Gambling Awareness Month, Compulsive Gambling Awareness Month. So much more on that coming up in the weeks to follow. And I look forward to having you on here again next week. Thanks, pal.
Thanks, brother.
All right, coming up next, Joe Beningo. And thank you again for listening to Hello. My name is Craig, exclusively on WFAN.